Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 105, and it's going to be a good show tonight. I'm here with my co-hosts and friends, Daniel Dark and Holly Phillippe.
Woo-hoo.
So how
are
you doing?
How are you doing tonight? Tonight is going great.
It is. We're 1 minute into the show and we haven't screwed up yet.
Not yet.
Good. Not yet. Give us some time. But join in the chat show because Holly is here and she's always a blast.
Yes.
In the chat room too, and she even has her hair braided Maid Marian style tonight, and if this were like a visual show you'd see it, but since it's a podcast you just have to use your imagination. So but but yeah, we've had all kinds of fun earlier today. Daniel Dark and I were talking about letting Michael West, since he's not on the show tonight, it's not his week off, we decided we'll volunteer him to sponsor us for Metallica tickets in Nashville in 2019. So we've been up to our usual plotting and, you know, preying upon our absent fourth guest. Yeah.
Yes, that's the least he can do.
Yeah,
we may buy him a T-shirt if he's good boy.
I'm hearing a feedback someplace.
Yeah, we got a little feedback.
It's probably me. It's
somewhere.
My computer. There now. Now you won't hear it.
There we go.
Thank you.
There we go. We made it 2.5 minutes.
It's always
before we
me.
Had technical error. That's good.
Well, you know, I am here.
But we got to get the show balanced because tonight is going to we're going to shift gears and move a little bit into the world of indie film and screenwriting. And we've got one heck of a cool guest calling here just a bit. We're gonna hold off on announcing him and his name for just a few. But first, we'll take a couple minutes and just do a little roundabout. Holly and Daniel, update us on your last week. How have things been with you all? What have you been doing and immersed in?
Well, ladies
well,
always
Daniel.
Go first, so.
Oh, you want me to go first? Well,
ladies always go first.
Well, working in office, that's what we're doing. I'm trying to round things out for Imaginarium. That'll be coming up this October, our creative writing convention that we hold every year in lovely state of Kentucky and Louisville, which Louisville's dealing with flooding right now. It's pretty severe. And then as of the last 2 days, well, we were dealing with my son Noah. He decided he moved to Georgia. So, yeah, it's been kind of hectic this week getting him packed and on the road. But he made it safe and sound earlier today, so that's a plus.
And it's newsworthy what house he moved in. It's none other than the house of Jackie Gamber.
Gamber.
Award-winning author and editor and filmmaker of Big Imagine. And of course, Dan Gamber and all the Gambers of Gamber Nation. So, Jackie's Leland Dragon series is just an awesome YA fantasy series. But Noah will be living under the same roof. So it's going to be a very exciting adventure for him down in Atlanta. And who knows, he might even be able to catch up with Brock on one of the Tyler Perry projects down there. You never know. So
I told him, get a hold of Brock and, you know, go hang out, man.
Mm. Yeah, it'll be cool.
It'll
be an adventure for him. So we wish him very well. But we do miss. I do actually legitimately and truthfully miss him. So, kind of bummed to see him go. But
house is really quiet now. No video games going on and all that ruckus. It's just me and Steven in the office now.
Oh yeah.
No.
Well,
no.
I'm dubious. Of
You've
course.
Got one more there.
Don't forget the dubious.
You got the
dubious. Dude keeps us, entertained.
Yep.
He's a king.
What about you, Daniel?
So what's been up with What's it up with Daniel?
I have been doing outlining and planning for a new book series that I'm working on all week long, and have started writing the first few pages of that, and today I was working back on my second book of Knife's Tale. So
very
good. I can get that to these publishers that, you know, I know that, you know, can possibly get it printed and stuff.
Weird publisher.
And I've also been working with the editor for the new Victorian cookbook that I've got coming up. So,
yay!
And that's about
Nice.
About covers my week, you know, of trying to get things done. When you're actually trying to plot and plan a story, it changes the demographics on how long it takes you to do something sometimes on the front end. I'm hoping that after I get all of this done, that it will change the amount of time it takes me to write it, though.
So are you, you're a plotter, not a pantser. Pantser, however you want to say that.
I'm a pantser normally.
Pantser.
And this one, I'm actually plotting out and planning exactly where I'm wanting to go with it. I'm going back and rereading books and stuff like that I need to read, and to be able to get this first story out of on this series.
Right.
Another serial killer series, so
we need some good serial killers
in our life.
I said research. That's the nature of the beast.
Yes. And luckily some of the books that I'm reading are on audio, so I can sit there and listen to them as well as research and do reading. And you know, that's just part of it and everything. But I think once I get started good on this one and everything, I believe people will enjoy the series a lot because of the way I'm doing it. So
very cool.
I've read a portion of what he's wrote already, and I'm excited.
I just gave you a snippet of it, you know, of what I've
got
written so far.
I didn't get much, but yeah, I'm intrigued.
So,
well, our guest is on deck, so I do want to give a little update before I bring him aboard here. Tonight we're going to do a lot more with the filmmaking world, a lot more with our exploration of screenwriting, and a lot more being the key word, with from page to screen. But give you that little teaser, but I'll give you my quick update. Next week I will probably have some really cool announcements on a number of new small releases that I'm going to be having coming out. That will kind of tide readers over while the new YA book goes through the final phases and I complete the fourth epic fantasy novel in my Fires and Eden series. But I've got a number of small releases, hint, hint, that, you know, should keep everybody quite happy and busy as far as readers of mine. And I'll have that information next week because, you know, I figured I'd want to have Michael West be there to hear all about it. So, no, seriously, I'll be ready. It'll be ready by next week. So,
we're being
hard on Michael West tonight. He's probably, like, raging in the background from his underground stronghold with all of his memorabilia around him. Because now we've volunteered him to pay for our Metallica concert. I am excited because Daniel told me that this fine fellow is coming aboard tonight, and I happen to also know him. Of course, he's been a wonderful participant and guest at the Imaginarium Convention, supremely talented filmmaker. Like I said, he's really knowledgeable about the indie world, and he's worked several times with that nefarious fellow, Nathan Day, actor, filmmaker, musician, deluxe, and he's probably got some good bad stories to tell about Nathan, which maybe we can get out of him before the end of the hour. But this is the one, the only, Thomas Moore. You're on the show, Thomas.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome.
How's it
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, Thomas.
Steph Thomas.
There he is. It's been since October. How are you doing? We need to catch up and he'll tell us about what you've been, what's going on with you, my friend.
Oh, man. Since October. Whew. Let's see.
Yeah, it's been that long, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember everything I've gotten done since then. I don't know. Well, today, sadly, has been kind of stressful. So forgive me if I'm a little bit spacey. My fiance and I rolled up onto a really terrible car crash a couple hours ago, and it's been kind of crazy ever since. Since October, I think we actually, yeah, we took a big break because last year we had cranked out, I think, 5 films.
Wow.
Throughout the year, and then we decided as a team, because I love my team very much, so we decided to tackle our very first feature-length film with absolutely no budget, which we're doing right now. We've got one more principal shoot day to go, and then we'd pretty much be wrapped up. So I kind of laid low, enjoyed the holidays, started the feature, and then if everything goes well, I should have 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 projects done before August.
Wow.
And then whatever
well,
else
nice.
Leads me into the rest of the year.
That's impressive.
We're going to have a Thomas More Day at Imaginarium, and you know, just for
yeah.
nothing but Thomas More projects.
Oh, goodness.
You are prolific. Oh, my God.
You're going to bore
people. Amazing. Now, here's the million-dollar question. How many projects is Nathan Day also in these 4 projects? Is he in all of them
well,
or some
if,
of them? Or
if everything goes well, he'll be in every one except one. Mostly in particular, I made a short. It's literally 2.5 minutes long, and it involved literally just my, at the time we shot this, 4-year-old son, going on 5, I think. We made a little horror short. We had one of our good actress friends come over, and she had to terrorize him through the house in a morph suit for a while. It was a whole lot of fun. So that's the only one Nathan's not really in. Other than that, Nathan's been a big part of everything that I've done, you know, and he actually, I don't know if you guys get to see it yet. I can't wait for you to see it, but he actually stole the show in Broken Contentment. He delivered a fine performance,
uh-huh.
and he took home Best Actor here in Knoxville.
He's amazing.
So how many awards does your movies have right now in all?
I think, me personally, I think I'm at 6. And I think collectively the films as a whole are 10 or 11.
Nice.
And I think last year, because 2016, I came and seen you guys, and that was with Incumbent, and that was when I first kind of started dabbling my finger back into
mm-hmm.
it seriously. And so in almost 2 years, every year we crank out more and more work just to push and push and push further and harder as hard as we can. And I cannot be more thankful for the amount of dedication and love and support and trust that my team has. I can't pay these guys, you know? They show up, they deliver. We're talking 13, 14-hour days, and all I got is some, you know, bottled waters, bag of chips, and pizzas, and they're like, hey, I'm in, let's do it.
mm-hmm.
You know, and we just keep
incredible.
Putting out film after film. We're just not slowing down.
Incredible.
That is awesome. Yeah, because I believe, yeah, you won, I want to say Best Director in 2016 at Imaginarium.
No, it was runner-up Best Director.
Or runner-up Best Director.
And then runner-up best short film in 2017 with Ruination.
That's right. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a fantastic
yeah.
film.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible film.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I didn't have to, you know, but I got these new crew members and a couple of my cast members who still haven't actually seen the film because I keep everything real close to the chest, especially when we're in festival season. Mainly because I want people to experience it and go to festivals as well, and it's worked. Some of the guys have went and had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
but I had to sit through Ruination the other day, and as you all know, it's very personal to my heart, and so I was like, man,
yes,
I don't want to sit and watch again, but they wanted to see it, and they hadn't seen it. I was like, you know what, sure, we'll fire it up. We got time to kill, waiting on the rest of the people to get here. I'm still proud of it. I think, you know, it's so far, it's my team's best story film that we've got. Like, I think the best story we've told. But I think our best technical film that's, like, on par and correct, no problems that we can find. I mean, there's there. But I think our most technically sound film is Broken Contentment, and you'll guys get to see that in a few months.
Very
and
cool.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see Nathan just be exposed and really pour his heart onto the floor. And it was, I think people who don't know that Nathan and I are good friends kind of looked at me like I was like a mean person, you know, because I took a little bit of Nathan's personal life and his personal struggle, and I put it in the story, and I called him up and I said, hey, are you okay with this? Is this okay mm-hmm. with you? And he's like, man, let's do it. It'll bring it out. Let's push it. And so not only do you see him, the role, when he's spilling his guts out, he's genuine. Like, it's him. And
right.
I love it. I mean, the performance was stupendous, and it was really funny, too. There was this other team at the local Knoxville Film Festival, and they were announcing the nominees for the Best Actor. And the other team had beaten us out in quite a few categories. And the other guy was starting to stand up as they and to go, and the winner is, the guy just stands himself up, and they say, Nathan Day. And then that guy just sits down immediately and looks around like, well, who's this? And I mean, it's really funny.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah. That is nice.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
And it was deserved. It was so deserved. And I'm not saying that because it's my film and he's my friend and I'm biased. I'm saying that because it legitimately was deserved.
Right.
It's an incredible performance.
I want to work with Nate every chance I get, and you know, very shortly, we're just waiting on CGI to get done. And of course, as you know, usually it takes an army to do it. Unfortunately, being Andy, you know, we don't have a lot of people, so it's going to take a little bit of time. But once that gets done, the Raiden TV pilot where he plays Marcos, which is kind of like almost like a Greek warrior type character, for an easy comparison. He is just phenomenal. I mean, he puts his heart and soul and everything into a performance. And
he truly
comes up with just really good
warrior.
Ideas. Yeah. I mean, he brings a lot to the table. It's not, you know, he doesn't have to be, you know, puppeteered. He definitely brings his own thoughts and ideas and mm-hmm. things, and comes up with some great, great choices and, you know, his acting. I mean, it's so, yeah,
oh,
so I try to work with him every chance I get. So, I mean, I know exactly what you mean.
We actually
he wanted to be on the show tonight with Thomas, but he has to pay bills too, so and Thomas doesn't pay him enough to pay bills, so
that's right.
We didn't either, so
I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're all working on it. We're trying.
Yeah.
One of these days I'll be paying his bills for him. That's the goal.
He's an
absolutely incredible asset. Like, I mean, he's expanded my roster of people that I've met or been acquainted with or gotten to work with. He
mm-hmm.
is very dedicated, in my opinion, when it comes to set. Like, they'll call him and ask you questions like, okay, what's my mindset? What do I need for this? What do I need to do for this? And that's invaluable. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you, especially on this, I'll be on this low a level as what we are. You know, we may crank out a lot of films and all that, but we're not getting paid. No one's flocking
right.
to see our work. You know, he still treats it like it's the next best thing he's going to do, the next best thing he's going to do. And currently,
mm-hmm.
for a little spoiler for you guys, is he's playing a serial killer for me.
And a
mass serial killer. And what's funny is, like, the first day, his roommate was assisting us as crew. First day he's on set with a mask, he's sitting in the dining room of this house we're on location, and he's holding his head really tight in his fist, and he's breathing real heavy. And you go up and you talk to him, like, hey, man, you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. but he's like getting in the mode, you know, and it sells. It's really believable. Like, it transfers to screen very well. And he's an incredible asset to the team. And, you know, like this past Saturday, we're filming at my house for the main set piece location. And he had to do a lot of hurry up and waiting. So he took it upon himself to get into full costume and wander around the house and in the yard. And was just, like, scaring people and recording them on his phone and, like, sending them videos of him waving at them. And so it was super. It was a lot of fun. And it helped bring the energy in that we really needed for the shoot.
I bet the neighbors thought, what is he up to now?
Well, luckily, you know, I threw a few letters out there like, hey, guys, we're filming. Because my neighbor to my left and my right are both avid gun nuts. And I was like, if you happen to see something on this day, do not shoot.
Do not call the police.
Yeah. And if it's Sunday, then you might want to shoot, but not today. We're like... He's supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, you do so know about the famous Nathan. You do know. It makes me think of the famous when Nathan was directing Bullet Song, his film, and the famous convenience store shoot that he did where the police raided and tackled everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I heard all that. About that.
They really thought it was going down. Yeah.
He made the news that night. Great for publicity, not so good for everybody's nerves. So. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's rough.
Oh,
you know,
God.
That's one thing that we've been lucky enough, like every location that we've had that wasn't my house, my house in like every film, one, because I own it, and two, because I'm a poor filmmaker and have no money. So...
We can relate.
We can relate, totally.
Every location... They're always donated. Like, I've not paid the location yet, and I'm very thankful for that.
Right.
I think it depends on an approach. Like, if I walk into a room and, you know, I'm just sloppily dressed and unkempt, I'm like, hey, by the way, I make movies. Can I borrow your place? They're like, no. But you walk in, you got a nice shirt on, you present yourself well, you put your business card out there, and you tell them, hey, listen, we make films for free. Explain the situation, and people are like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. Come on, man. And we always offer, we're like, hey, you know, we could, you know, because the guy that I filmed everything with, super talented guy, literally wouldn't do anything without him. I trust him probably more than I trust myself on set. And, you know, excuse me, sorry, guys. We walk in and it's just like, hey, how's this going, you know? And people are like, you know what, yeah, bring it on in. And it's been an incredible thing because, like I said, he shoots professionally. Like, he actually does shows on, like, HGTV and DIY. Like, this is what he does for a paid job and then gives the weekends to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, I'm like, hey, here we go. You know, it works.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
People respond well to that, and it's been a great asset as well. And I'm a firm believer that I couldn't be where I'm at without the guys that I have around me.
Oh, no.
That's
networking is so important.
Absolutely. I help these guys as hard as I can. I'm like, listen, at the end of the day, you've got footage from me. You've got a reference from me. And it may not mean much to some people, but it might be enough for somebody else.
Right.
You
know,
and like, my only goal is to lift everyone with me because I don't exist without them.
Right.
There is no ruination or broken contentment or, you know, nightmare child. These things don't exist without these guys. And they're, I mean,
you can write the story. You know, you can write the story and plot everything, but yeah, to make it come to life, you've got to have that team. Yeah, you can't do it solo.
They're
that's for
incredible.
Sure.
They're incredible.
That's
like,
amazing.
You know, we've had local bands. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to just say real quickly, that's the huge difference between the book world and the film world is that book world, don't get me wrong, it does have other people to become involved, like an editor and a cover artist and so forth. But basically, I mean, it's a solitary path to creating the art. Film, however, is such a team dynamic. And I think any major filmmaker that you see, if you really study who's around them, you will see the same names around them. All of them eventually do form their own teams, all the successful ones. I mean, this one that's around, you know, all the big names. And so I think, you know, you've hit spot on, you know, definitely one of the key things to being successful and making progress as a filmmaker is building that unit, that team.
Well, it's not only that, but how successful he is as a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Correct.
A lot of people don't realize, you know, Thomas also writes a lot of these movies that he's doing.
Right.
So
and
far,
screenwriting,
and you know that's the
you do all your screenwriting.
Yeah, well, in the indie world especially, I've noticed that people when they write something, it's very difficult for them to just give it to you and trust you to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
There has been discussion with some people. I won't name any names in case they don't want that business aired. They might, you know, you never know how people are. But there was a discussion where I was approached, and, hey, if I wrote this, I want you to direct it. I'm sitting here like, let's do it. I'm in. Like, let's make it happen.
Right.
I can't wait, you know, for the day that it becomes we're turning down work. That's what we're – I want all my guys like that. And that's the thing. If my guys get picked up tomorrow, like if they called me up and, you know, let's say Nathan, for example, someone's like, man, I see you on Broken Contentment, and I want to pay you to come out here and work with us. Duh, duh, duh. Bye.
Right.
Go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Get out there. And it's very important to me, you know, to have that. Now, there's the other aspect of the screenwriting, and thank you, Daniel, for bringing that up. Like, while I may write these, like, core stories, when we sit down and have a table read, I listen to everyone's opinion at the table. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't love it the way that I love it. They're not going to put as much love into it when it's time to roll the camera.
That's true. That's why you got to let the creatives have, you know, some of their own input and you know, even ad-lib. There's always some amount of ad-libbing.
Oh.
And a lot of times it adds a whole lot more to the story, you know, things that you never thought about because you are too close to the story. You know, sometimes
exactly.
we're so close to it that we don't see outside the box, you know, you're clouded.
You're absolutely right. I'm like, for instance, I'll tell you guys may not know this, but when we got into the, because it was a 7-day shootout for Broken Contentment, we had 7 days to write, shoot, edit, and turn in a 7-minute short film. And I was in Las Vegas at a film festival when the 7-day challenge started.
Mm-hmm.
And so I skipped the entire day in Las Vegas. Once we got the information, my guys were there picking up the info, like, because they require they require elements like a character, an item, or a line of dialogue, et cetera, you know, however they do it. And so I excuse myself from the festival and people I'm hanging out with. I go back to my hotel room and I sit on my iPad and I write a script in about 2 hours and I hate it. I trash it and I threw it away. And then I started a second one.
Oh.
And that was after I made the phone call to Nathan. And I was like, hey, what if I put your real emotions in this? He said, man, let's do it. So I wrote the next script in about 40 minutes. I wrote all 7 pages in 40 minutes. And sent it to everyone via email. And then Saturday comes around. I excuse myself from the festival throughout that part of the day again. Go back to my hotel room and directed them via Skype from my hotel room.
Wow.
Like
nice.
Someone literally carried me on a cell phone so I could tell them what I was wanting, what I wanted to see, because that's the relationship I have with my cinematographer. I don't
mm-hmm.
ever second guess his work. I tell him what I want to see. If I have a certain idea for a shot, he handles it. I don't ever have to double check his work for anything because he's going to get it. He's going to shoot it. And if we have a difference amongst each other, like, man, I want to see it shot this way. And he's like, but I feel like it should be this way. We shoot it both ways. And that's how we do it. That's how we get things done.
Right.
So I'm on Skype for 6.5 hours, and we shot the entire film in 6.5 hours.
Good grief.
And then I got dressed and went to the award show in a full suit and everything. I had time to get ready and everything.
Fantastic.
I don't exist without my crew, and that if that doesn't count as proof, I don't know what does.
Jeez,
oh man.
Yeah, that's
how long
incredible.
Did it take you to put that group together, though, Thomas?
Do what?
How long did it take you to put that type of group together, though?
We've actually been building the group for over 2 years now. and there'll be people show up, like, to be talent, and you can tell they don't mesh well, and so we kind of just like, we won't bring you back as often. We still need you in future, but we don't want to bring you on every project because it's not working. And it's not rude.
Right.
It's just we have to work with what works for us and what works as a group.
Positive flow.
Yeah, exactly. That's very important. Mm-hmm. So, like, after Saturday was wrapped, I go to the award show. I have fun. I come home from the airport. I land on Monday. And my cinematographer, Jay, great guy, picks me up from the airport. We go get something to eat, and we go back to his apartment. Mind you, I haven't seen my kids in like a week, okay? Go to his apartment and start editing the film, to finish editing, because he'd already edited during Sunday, and I was getting updates. I got to see rough cuts throughout the Sunday what's going on. And so he's just editing, and we get back to his apartment, and we start editing it together and fixing things and tweaking things, making it feel real good. Go home, spend time with my kids, and then Wednesday, we got to drive out like 40 minutes from my house to turn it in. And it was just a big rush of everything going on there. And the people were checking on me like, hey, did you get it in? Like, did you get the movie turned in? I'm like, yeah, man, we're good, man. I'm sitting here. I'm having dinner, guys. Don't worry about it. We're good.
We're ready to rock.
Yeah, we were golden. We were the first ones pulled up and turned it in.
Fantastic. Well, I got a question for you screenwriters. What do you find is the hardest challenge for screenwriting other than, you know, that's different than writing a book? What do you think is more challenging from,
oh my
you know,
God.
Taking something from a book to actually having to put it to you know, a movie perspective?
Well, I'll definitely tell you that writing a book is a million times harder than ever writing a screenplay would be. I tried it once and it was a miserable fail because I don't have to describe to you what the scene looks like. I don't need your imagination to build it when you're reading a screenplay. So
true.
If I just put interior night shot, we'll just say swamp house. That's all you need to know. It's a swamp house. It doesn't matter what it smelled like, what it looked like, what kind of moss color was on the wall. None of that stuff matters because we'll figure
true.
It out when we get there. That,
right,
to me,
right.
Like,
yeah, you don't have to get real descriptive.
Right, and that is the one thing that I think makes screenwriting easier than a book, because I don't have it doesn't have to exist in my end of the spectrum. But I will tell you what's hard is to write fluid dialogue, in my opinion, because you're literally going from character name to what they're saying, to character name to what they're saying, character name to what they're saying, and it's immediate. There's no describing the room or there's no break.
Emotion.
So if the conversation doesn't, if it's not flowing, if it doesn't feel right, and the first time you write, you're like, oh, that sounds pretty good. You say it to yourself, you know, oh, that's good. I like that. And then you hear it at the table read and you're like, no, don't say that. Don't do that. That's terrible. Don't do that. And we find that more often than not. We're like, no, just cut. We got to fix that. And I will adjust the script on the fly. I'll be like, change it. Take that out. This is garbage. I'm not doing that again. And we'll just scroll
right.
it out and say something else. Jay has a good point, I think, when it comes to screenwriting as well. He's, you know, the guy that I work with. You write the script three times. The first time is when you put it to paper. The second time is when the camera's rolling. And the third time is when you're editing it.
True.
Because while
that is
still
true.
Good at the moment, there are times I'll remove an entire sentence. Like Ruination, for example. You guys seen that film. Death, the character Death, had a lot more lines in that film.
Mm-hmm.
We removed them to give him the more menacing and ominous feel because that we're like, man, it's not working. Like he's talking too
right.
much, man. If Death's gonna show up, I want him to be cold and empty. So we removed at least 10 lines of dialogue from him. So I was like, I don't like it. You know, you're sitting there looking at it and you're like, man, it looked good on paper, and now you're like, I don't
right.
know.
So you're
cold
actually
as he was 5 minutes ago.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
Steven did a little bit of that too with Raiden. Yeah, he changed some things on the fly. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it
happened.
Yeah,
Thomas could relate. Yeah. I mean, we had to make so a couple last minute changes where Brock even took a fight scene that Sol was supposed to do, and for one example, just because of some circumstances with Sol's health on that particular day. And so, you know, we had to totally change, you know, that just on the fly, because we only had that day to shoot at that location. I mean, it was that or nothing. And so
that'll hurt an indie quickly. That really will.
Yeah.
Like, we only have the one day for one spot. Like, all you get, you
got
to make adjustments, or you're not going to succeed. Yeah.
That's it. You have to make it work. And actually, in our particular case, it worked out better. I think it worked out 10 times better.
It ended up working out pretty well. But, but you know, but like Thomas said, sometimes, you're backed into a wall on something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you're doing rewrites real quick.
Being indie.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and that,
that
is a challenge, I guess. You could consider that a challenge of screenwriting is, there's sometimes you have to do it, I mean, right now. You're going to have to replace something. You're going to have to, you know, redo part of your script right now. You don't have, you know, a week. You have right now. And that's a challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, and but
weather
also,
shifts, all kinds
like
of fun
long,
stuff.
Yeah, especially weather. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
But I'll tell you this, though. I can tell you from experience, and you guys know, you guys have done it. If the people that have to deliver that adjustment are good at what they do, you're going to have no problems.
Mm-hmm.
If they're being an actor to be an actor for kicks and giggles, just because like, whatever, it's kind of whatever, then that change will destroy their character, like how they portray themselves continuity for a good minute. But someone who's been in it and they love it and they love what they do, it's going to translate really well and it's going to come together really well and they can take it. They're like, you know, like, hey, man, I don't like this one, cut it out. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Okay, cool.
right. They go with the flow. And I think
exactly.
A true professional that they can do that. A true professional in the film business is going to go with the flow. That's just part of it. That's just
exactly.
A part of the life.
And even at where me and my crew are, you know, we don't have any money. So everyone's here donating their time. So these crew guys, they're holding this boom pole for 12 hours today, and you want to tell me you can't handle changing this up, you don't want to do this, like that frustrates me, and I don't invite back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, they're donating their time, I'm donating my time, I've kicked my kids out of my house to film in this thing, come up work with me, you know what I'm saying? Like, we do it because we love it and we want it. I want someone to hire me to direct film. If I could do my entire life just directing film, I would be super happy.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's time to go, it's business time. We got things to do.
Right.
But I'm also, you know, but don't get me wrong. I'm not all like, you know, iron fist. You know, I'm like, hey, guys, we've been going for about 5 hours or so. Let's take a lunch break, meet at my house, or meet at the next location at this time, move on. Because I think that's what's helped me a lot, too, is they know that I'm firm, but they know that I love it and I want it more than I want to breathe. And I also take care of them. Hey, are you okay? You need something to drink? You need some coffee? Do you need a break? Do you need something?
Yeah, you got to keep their belly full.
I think that goes a long way. Yeah.
it does. Because if you've got hungry actors, it's going to show. You got to keep fed. Fed and hydrated. You're good to go.
Absolutely.
I think I like Thomas's moniker there. I think you should go with it. Thomas the Iron Fist Moore. I mean, that's not too bad. I'll get cooperation out of the actors.
Yeah,
I
but
think
then
some
no shortage
people would
of
shy
fist
away.
More.
Unruly actors. Oh, man. Get them in line.
Oh. There are some people that will show up and you're like, do you really think that's going to pass? And I used to be really bad about it. I won't lie to you guys. I was terrible. I would show up, and, like, we'd shoot, and I would just let things slide. I'm like, well, I'm not paying them. Okay, I can't really be rude. Now, I flat walk up. I'm like, hey, by the way, didn't like your face. Not working for me. Don't do it again. And that's the dynamic. This past Saturday, for example, this new person we brought onto our team, named Megan Hill. She's fantastic. She is fantastic to work with. You can tell she loves it. You can tell she wants to do it. And she was so much fun to work with. So we're on set and we're having to get this like her boyfriend's missing, you know, that typical, you know, killer thing going on. This is her boyfriend's missing and she's losing her mind. She's like, if that was your girlfriend, you wouldn't be in here. And she would do this thing that didn't look like her character. She would like jerk her head real hard to one direction, and I came in and I was like, "Listen, you look like Madea goes to jail right now. It's not working for me. I need you to do it this way."
Roll back the tune.
She's like, "Okay, we'll work on it." And then she did it again, and then she did it again, and finally, when I told her, I showed it to her. I was like, "Look at this," you know. And she's like, "Oh yeah, that's bad. Okay, I'll fix it." And the next take, boom, it's fixed, perfect. She delivered the lines. She slapped my main actor, you know, she shoved him a little bit. And it was real good. It was real powerful. It felt real good. But I was terrible. Like I would be like, "No, it's okay. You know, it's fine." And now we're coming up on, I think, you know, almost 3 years been cranking at this, and we really want it really bad. Now there is no slack. You're not doing what I need you to do. I don't believe you, because even now I'm watching it on a monitor. So I used to watch it on my iPad. Now I watch it on a monitor when we're filming, if I can't be in the room and be in a good spot. So I'm watching it on screen. And if it doesn't feel like it's transferring correctly to the screen that I'm looking at, it's not going to transfer to an even bigger screen.
Right.
Right.
So I'm like, that's not working. You got to fix this. And you'll hear it, you know, and it's just, it's been a long road, I think, to be this way, because I feel bad. You know, it messed my morals to be like really strict. I'm not paying somebody. But now I'm like, if you show up, you waste my time. I don't want to deal with you. You need to go somewhere.
Well, me and Thomas would work really well together. Yes.
Well, the thing is,
you also got to look at it, the fact that you're looking at doing four films in a half year, basically, right now.
Right.
And
quality.
You don't have, to sit there and play with it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. It's not just a little hobby, you know.
Right. I'm not making them for YouTube. And I think that I've already.
Exactly.
And this sounds conceited a little bit, but I don't have nothing else to prove in that aspect when it comes to meeting new people, because I've been all over the country. My team films have been all over the country. People have seen our work. We have been recognized all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to try to prove myself, I think, in that aspect anymore. And I don't mean to come off rude like that, but it's like, I've done it. We're around. People have seen our work. So this is
no longer a game.
It's the track record,
as I call it.
Right, right.
Right.
You've got a track record. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's got to start somewhere, and you did. You worked your way up, you know. You paid your dues. That's what I said. Everybody's got to pay their dues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you got a body of work you can
very
point
important.
To. Yeah.
Yes. And once you pay your dues, I mean, by God, you know, you gotta show people you're serious. You want to put out quality work. You know, you take it very serious. And they waste
the
your time.
Absolutely. Well, that's like the feature film thing. I wrote it to kind of be bad on purpose. You know, it was like, because I didn't want it to be something so sophisticated that we couldn't pull it off. Because we have no money.
Right.
So you're talking, we're going to make a feature-length film on no money in 5 principal shoot days, and that's it.
Nice.
So, yeah, to me, like, it was to prove that we could do it. I have here it is, it's in my hand. I made a feature-length film in 5 principal shoot days, and imagine what I could do with money. And that's kind of how I plan to pitch myself to people, like, look, give me a chance. Let me bring my crew in and give us a chance. We can do this.
Yeah, you can prove your argument right there. That's an excellent approach, and it's because it's a different world now. I mean, I go back a long enough that I remember, you know, the DVD world where, you know, there was a nice mid level with DVD brick and mortar stores and distribution where a filmmaker could kind of go up to that level and then stage for a higher. But today's world, it's crazy. It's almost like you have to go from like a really almost no budget indie and just catapult up to, you know, a much larger kind of budget situation. And to do that, I mean, the burden is harder. And, you know, and that is where what you've done, I think, sets the stage beautifully. I mean, you've got the body of work, you've shown what you can do on, you know, on Fumes, and that definitely sells the argument for what you could do with a budget. So, I mean, kudos on that, definitely.
Thank you. That is a valid, you know, that is our validation. It's like, guys, just trust me. If my guys could be together for a Monday through Friday shoot versus every Saturday or every other Saturday,
mm-hmm.
imagine the quality of work we could give. Imagine what we could do with that kind of time where I could afford to give people three meals a day. Hey, guys, come show up on set. Your meals are covered
right.
all day long. Let me take care of you. That's where I want to be. It's never about being famous. I don't care about that. I don't need a legacy. I don't need anything. I want to love what I do every day, which is tell stories through movement. Literally, that's all I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And that's it. That's the hope of most indies is just, you know, it's a passion. It's a passion. We want to do what we love for a living. We're not asking to be millionaires. You know, we're not asking for,
right.
you know, arm and a leg. We're just asking to make a living doing what we love.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a hobby. We're serious. It's not
right.
a hobby.
His connection being a millionaire.
Cringe at that word hobby. Cringe at that word hobby.
Well, I ain't going to turn down a million, but, you know, I'm saying, you know, we're not saying, oh,
right.
we're going to have to do
right.
this for $1 million, you know.
Right.
We'll take 60
yeah, we'll
grand, 1,000, 100,000. But if somebody wants to give us $1 million, yeah, we'll take it. Yeah, I'll make you a good
yeah,
film.
We'll do something.
We'll make it big. Yeah, no, it's like Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first time I met Daniel, Nate confused him with somebody else, and it was real kind of an awkward moment. You know, it was like,
how can
oh,
you confuse
mistaken.
Daniel with somebody else?
It was his. I think it was
there is only
name.
One Daniel.
It was something. It was somebody's name. And so we're outside on this hotel, and we're in, you know, Daniel comes out, and he's smoking, and we're talking to these other people, and I'm like, the next day, I'm like, hey, you want to go eat with us? We're going to go eat. And Daniel's like, yeah, let's go, you know. And I admitted to him, and I think he gave me, like, the first, like, because I didn't know him, right? Now I know Mr. Whoberry very well, but, like, it was different. Like, I had just met him, and we go to the Big Boy, which I was super happy about, by the way. I'd never been to one, and I was like, I got to go to one.
Oh, I love Big Boy sandwiches.
I even took pictures with the burger boy. I was like, I have to do this, guys. and he says to me, because I said something about I wouldn't own the term I was a film director. I wouldn't own it. I was like, I'm not really a director. I just make film. You know, and I was like, because it felt rude. You know, I didn't like how it sounded. And Daniel's sitting across from me. He's known me a total of 20 minutes. And he's like, well, what do you do? When you make a
right.
film, what do you do? I was like, well, I direct it. He's like, well, you're a director. And he just takes a bite of his food and keeps on going like nothing ever happened.
That's Daniel.
And it was valid. It felt very validating from a stranger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't feel
right.
like my friends were trying to butter me up, make me feel good. It was a guy that I'd never met who was like, well, you're a film director, chomp. And he kept going by his evening, and he was just going where he was.
That's what you do. That's what you are.
I'm a little blunt about things a lot of times. But
yes, okay. Yes.
Nothing in the world wrong with that.
Yeah, Steven. Steven always tries to tell me I'm too blunt sometimes.
Oh,
well,
goodness.
Sometimes, yes,
it.
You need to dial it back just a little bit.
Now, my old lady
you're
is sad too. About that, too. Yeah, bring it down a little bit a couple times. She gets a little overboard at times, like, baby.
Holly, if you're too blunt, get a little sharper then, you know.
That's it.
No.
No, Steven says. I would be Ivan the Terrible if I was a director.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a job for me. No, I don't have the temperament for that. Mm-mm.
Well, yeah, I think like
nope.
I think the hardest part too is producing. I'm the only producer.
Oh yeah, I do that
project.
Well, but
like, so I'm trying to keep up with 15 talent. And tell them,
mm-hmm.
hey, I need you on this day, this time. Sorry, I messed up. You can't be here that day, this time. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's just a constant, just like, barrage of emails going on. I'm like, guys, keep up with me.
Mm-hmm.
I need you here this time. You know, and it's a lot of fun for me. Like, I love being a producer. And there was this professor I had in college where I got my, I guess, like, I'm certified, I guess, to be a producer or whatever. And I got a certificate for it, and he comes in the room, and he looks at me, or he looks at the class, and he says, now, I'm going to tell you guys one thing. I mean, this guy hadn't even, like, sat down. He said, if you want to be a producer, you're either clever or stupid. I raised my hand. I was like, I'm very clever. And he points at me. He says, you'll be a producer. And he goes and sits down, and we start doing the class. And I love that class.
That's awesome.
Like, I learned so much from him that it has translated well, even to the indie world, because we were taught how to do big budgets. Like, I can do a dude
right.
form and all these other things going on. But, like, I can do it on a small and large scale, and I love it. It's so much fun. But
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, it's been very difficult to write, to produce, and to direct a feature-length film essentially on my own. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone's been a part of it, but, like, I'm doing, like, the core build. Like, you here at this day, you
mm-hmm.
here at this time, you here at that location, and so on and so on and so on. And one thing that we always try to do now, especially with how successful Ruination was, is we try to champion an artist. So whether you're an actor or whether you're wanting to be a filmmaker yourself or you're a musician even, one of our actors in Covet is a super talented musician. I mean, I don't know how this guy is not just getting paid to make music. I mean, he is stupendous. Like, it's insane. He comes on, and I'm like, hey, man, because he approaches me. He says, another Nathan Day nod to him. He says, Nathan said you're looking for original music, and I have a song that I wrote that may work for your movie. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm down. Let's hear it. So he shows up on set. He's got a guitar in his hand. He plays a song in front of me and the crew, and I'm sitting here like, dude, are you serious? Like, is that for the film? He's like, yeah, man. I'm like, let's do it. So through some other shuffling of papers, I have access to a recording studio. So this Saturday, because we had to cancel filming, I'm taking that actor with his guitar to the studio to get his song actually mastered for the film and to give him a copy of it. Because
That's
I'm all
cool.
about, like, I want everyone to love what they do. Like, if you don't love what you do,
right.
what's the point of doing it? And that's very important to me. So
right.
I champion people. Like, I've got actors who work with me so much, very dependable people. He's like, hey, man, I want to start making my own short films with my crew. Can you give me advice? Absolutely. What do you need? Can you give me tips on
mm-hmm.
film festivals? Absolutely. What do you need? To me, it does no good to be like, figure it out on your own. I've already done that.
Right.
I was like, I did the hard work. Let me share it with you, you know?
Right.
Let me give you the advice that no one's going to give you. Let me give you what you're not going to learn, you know, just by trying it out. Let me give you the best free film school I can while helping you move
mm-hmm.
forward at the same time. And that's very important to me as well.
Right, right. That's a true creative right there. That's the way it should be. That's the way everybody should be.
Yeah, I can't believe, though, that he did a serial killer movie and didn't call me up, though. So.
I know, that is kind of strange.
Mr. Whoberry, I'll tell you this. We have The Devil's a Lie, our infamous, actually, black and white noir film that we're treating as a concept that we're submitting to people saying, look, we did this with no money, da 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 da. If we had a budget, we could make this into a miniseries. It's already written. The whole thing's written from, like, beginning to end. So if it became a small miniseries and there's a second season, I actually want Daniel to be the, like, protagonist in it. Like, I need him to exist in our world. Like, I need him to be here. So
definitely,
if we could fund it up, I'm bringing him in. That's why, like, I got
definitely.
Money. What do you need? Let's go. Come on. Come to my house.
Daniel will be like, okay, I'm there. I'll bring my dog. I'm there. He'll even furnish his own knives. See, you don't have to worry about the props.
See, look, there we go. It's all good. It's all
Dave,
good.
See, win-win. It's a win-win. Costuming, props, yeah, win-win.
I'll have a pigeon bring you the contract shortly, Daniel. Don't worry.
I can be your successful creep for your slasher films. You know?
Yeah, if he sends you the contract by pigeon, don't expect your pigeon back if you've read the first bit of Knife's Tale.
yeah, it won't return.
He'll thank you for it, but it'll be a good meal.
Hey, you know what? He he showed gratitude. That's all I need. You know, it's like it's all. I didn't like that bird anyway.
I didn't like him anyway.
I did.
So the pigeon scene was my first introduction to Daniel's writing.
Yeah. Steven's like, what
it.
The world? And I said, yeah, ain't that fantastic?
You know, I broke the first rule of writing in my first paragraph. So, you know.
Hey, that's what art does. Pushes the boundaries.
That's true. That's right. You know. Ruination
that makes
like
for
that.
A good
I
story.
Mean, we've submitted it to a few like mental health film festivals who specialize in films that concern around mental health, suicide, and things like that. They turned it down.
Oh my God, really?
One place told
really?
Us that it wasn't. Yeah, oh absolutely. They were like, one place said that it didn't touch mental health enough, and I was like, okay. And then another place said that it wasn't a happy ending, so it wasn't for their program. And I was like, nothing about suicide is a happy ending. And that was the only thing I put in the
no.
email. That's all I put back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, tap, done.
They
even,
turned
like,
down Ruination.
Response to that. Yeah, Ruination's been turned down actually a lot. But the two that bothered me the
wow.
most are the mental health people who just
wow.
who literally made comments about how it wasn't right for them. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
It's fine because they're my opinion. I got no problem
I
with
cannot
that.
Believe
oh, man.
That because – you remember
yeah,
what
I
told
either.
You about Ruination, Thomas?
It
was one of the most heart-filling movies that I've seen in forever, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people don't know, and I'll be the first to tell you guys, a lot of that story, and I've never told anyone this publicly, it's 100% real. Other than, like, death appearing, everything in that story happened to the guy the film is dedicated to.
Oh, wow.
So his name is actually James. His name was James. Her name was Jamie. The sister, the person who was literally sitting at the casket saying they would have done so much more, those are the words that I said at his funeral. My middle name is Michael, so her name was Michelle because, you know, Thomasina didn't seem like a really good name. So that's literally, like, it's all inspired by what actually took place. The only
wow.
thing that I changed was the situation that occurred right before the character pulls the trigger. I did that for a number of reasons, but a lot of people don't know that's why Ruination is hard for me to watch because
right.
the lines the sister says
close to your heart
are lines that came out of my mouth. I said those words. That's why Ruination was so important to me. And when I explained the story to everyone, everyone was like, I'm in, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Right. And to feel everyone kind of come around me and essentially they literally cared for me through the filming. When we were filming the suicide scene, which we did it in a way where there was not gory. We didn't want to show blood. We didn't want to actually show that. We wanted the implication
right.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't sit in the room. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't even watch it on my iPad. I was like, I got to go to the other room, guys. I'm gonna be over here. Mind my business. Because we kept having we were trying to get it right, like the look, the gun movement, and all that stuff. You know, it was really hard to watch.
Right.
And I remember my second Q&A was actually at Imaginarium for the film. And there was this lady in there asking a whole bunch of questions, and another guy in the back who said that film touched his heart in more ways than I could imagine because he was where the character was a week before coming to Imaginarium. And I'm sitting here like,
oh my God,
you want to talk about it? Let's
wow.
do it. You want to hang out? We can do this. You can talk to me all day. And he was like that film, it touched me in place. I was just there. And that feels incredible to watch and, you know, to see what that becomes of someone. So it's the hardest film I've ever had to do in that aspect. And I've literally had someone tell me that because they watched the film, they didn't want to commit suicide anymore. It made
That's
sense
incredible.
To see it from the outside. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. The film done something that nobody can ever take away from me, and I don't need the award for that.
No,
right.
I don't know. Even if it saved one person, it was all worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
And that's literally how I felt about it since, you know, day one. When it was done, I was like, man, if somebody just watches this and it brings them to the realization that it's worth going on for, that's all it matters.
Right.
And
right.
The person, they literally messaged me on Facebook. They were like, by the way, I just seen your film. I wanted to kill myself 20 minutes ago. And now I just want to go. I want to go get help. But I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness. I mean, you want to come to my house?
That's
like,
profound.
You need to talk to me or anything? Like, can I be there for you? Like, no, I'm just, you know, just gonna go to therapy. I'm like, okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every now and then they, you know, we check in with each other and see how things are going, and it seems to be doing well.
That's awesome.
So
that is awesome.
I'm beyond proud of that film and the things it's accomplished.
Yeah. You should be. Yeah, you should be.
Well,
right,
we have actually come to the end of the show. I didn't want to interrupt because obviously that was a very, very powerful powerful experience. And but yes, we have actually come to the end of the show. And this, of course, will be on the stream and download version, this segment here. But we wanted to give you a chance, Thomas, to tell folks how they can find you on the internet. So they can catch up with your world and your filmmaking.
Absolutely. It's called Blessed, like, you know, something's blessed by something. Blessed Melody Productions, or Blessed Melody Productions. Melody being M-E-L-O-D-Y. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Facebook gets sneak peeks more so than other things do. Like, Instagram gets, like pictures, but, like, every once in a while, we'll post a video, like, or I'll ask someone, hey, who wants to be a test viewer? Who wants to check this out before everybody else does? And so everyone's welcome to join that and follow that, because I don't care who it is. I'll randomize people's names and say, okay, give me your feedback on this, how to work for you. So I'm all over social media. You can find us at any place, and, you know, always be willing to be a part of the test viewers. It's always fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining us tonight. Yeah, definitely want to have you back sooner than later. And, sorry about that. Yeah, no, about a week ago we got a little cross to getting you online. But this week turned out great, and really, really had a great time talking with you. So thank you for being on the show tonight.
Maybe
we had a wonderful show.
More, if someone needs information about filmmaking, I can help them out a little bit more from someone who's dug their knuckles through the dirt long enough to give you advice.
And the next appearance, it'll be nothing but dirt on Nathan Day from.
Hey, I got plenty I can tell. So,
oh, I've got a lot of good ones dating back to the late 90s. So yeah, I've got some good ones for you.
You know what? You should have a roast of Nathan Day one night. It'll be a lot of fun.
Ooh, oh, that'd be
let's
fun.
Do it.
That would be fun. Yes, that would be fun.
That's all
Dirty Day Day.
And on that note, Star Chamber Show comes at you every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Star Chamber Show. And we do have a cafe press shop at cafepress.com, Star Chamber Show, where you can get some cool memorabilia, and so if you want to support the show. So thank you very much, and we will be coming at you next week. And on behalf of Holly and Daniel and Thomas, you have a good night, everybody, and take care.
Take care. Bye.